You're listening to Right Back Atcha, the podcast where we have fun taking noughties pop music seriously, with myself, Joel Babington, and the fourth Minogue sibling himself, David Lim. So, David, how have you been? What have you been up to?
Trying to keep up with the Minogues. I'm in a monogamous relationship.
When did you come up with that one?
My friend in Australia, Anthony, actually came up with that. Most of my witty Minoguing lines have come from him. Have you met any of the Minogues?
No, I was going to ask you that. I've not met any Minogue, have you?
I've met Kylie in the flesh for like 0.03 seconds.
Oh, summertime at British Hyde Park.
Well, it wasn't that actually. She was doing promo for us for the year she headlined BST Hyde Park. And me and my colleague Jack went to, I think she was on Jonathan Ross, went to the studios. She got in a lift. I just shook her hand when she was in a lift and then just backed the fuck out and just let her, you know, get in the zone before her interview. But she was gorgeous, tiny, absolutely tiny, and just professional.
Yes.
And I've spoken to the People's Minogue, aka Danielle Jane, on the phone.
I mean, just to see how she was, or?
Oh, no, it wasn't like just a casual call, like, oh, you
Thanks
know.
Thanks for calling Asda, what?
No, it was, I was interviewing Danny when her book, My Story, came out. She's just come home from the X Factor doing one of their Sunday night live shows. So she was knackered. Like, I looked at the time when I rang her, I think I rang her house, and it was like midnight. So the People's Minogue knows no time zones. She is a grafter. She works and works and works.
This woman, right, is a professional working woman.
Mm.
From a young age, a professional working, hardworking performer. I know I can speak for David on this. We are incredibly excited to be getting into Danielle Jane Minogue today.
Special shout out to Joe Anderton, who has been requesting that we do this episode for quite a long time.
Merry Christmas, Joe. Today we're going to start from the Girl album and then go through the noughties.
Danny has been famous since she was a child. So by the time she got to the Girl album era in 1997, this feels like a second wave
of
her career.
Oh, yeah.
Or third, maybe third. Even third. So we've got Young Talent Time, which she did when she was a kid and finished up when she was 18. I mean, if you don't know what 16, sorry. So if you're not familiar with what Young Talent Time is, it's a show that we have back in Australia, back in the day, which is like a variety show, which I'm sure here in England you guys have learned.
Yeah, there was an interview where they said we had a version. It was kind of, from what I gather, the Australia's version of the Mickey Mouse Club, but not Disney.
And they sing, they dance, they do comedy sketches and everything like that. And Danny was one of the big stars of the show. She was one of the favourites.
To me, a fantastic talent team member is one who gives 100% all of the time. And the person that we're saying goodnight to tonight not only has wonderful talent as a singer and a dancer and an actress, but she also gives 150% all the time. And that's why I'd like you all to join me in giving a 150% thank you to Danielle Minogue.
Now, another of my all-time fave artists, Tina Arena, also came through Young Talent Time.
I knew that, but I completely forgot it. Yes.
So she was sort
Did
of...
they cross?
They crossed very briefly, as in Danny was starting and Tina was graduating.
Graduating, wow.
So, and they're both friends to this day, I have to say. If you don't know that, Tina and Danny are friends. And recently when Tina did her Greatest Hits album, she had this idea of having other artists cover her songs for disc two. And she invited Danny to cover Sorrento Moon, and they both did it together. And it was one of those moments where I didn't actually think would ever happen in my life.
Wow.
Having two of my faves on one song. So
incredible. I think, and speaking of that, we should put a little clip here.
And it's true, baby, we have
something wild to take you somewhere. All I needed was to fly. In 1988, when she left the show, she was such a big star that she had her own fashion range in Target, which sold out across the country within a week.
Wow, I'd love to see what those pieces looked like.
I mean, imagine if Google Image was invented back then. You know, trend alert. So, 1989, she was 18 and she makes her Home and Away debut. She goes into a soap.
I mean, she's Australian royalty and she is an Australian pop culture icon. And it's really interesting how it kind of rewrites history in a way. So I was kind of shocked to find out that she was only on Home and Away for a year.
Mm.
But the way everyone talks about it, you would have thought she was on it for like 5 years.
Yeah.
But it was a very clever move for her, I think, to be on it for a year. You know, it was a really well-received character, but she didn't get herself locked into it. It was a stepping stone. To then jump into...
It was a transitional period. And the character she played was a bad girl with, like, long, dark hair, piercings, leather jackets, like a bit of a tomboy. So it was a departure.
So Home and Away is now on Amazon Prime. The first 2 years of Home and Away are on there. And I think Danny came on like, the third year. So I think that Addict, by the time this comes out, it'll probably be on there. But me and Alex were looking for Amazon Prime. And then Danny's in episode 400. And we were scrolling through. And it ended on episode 399.
Oh, my God. Imagine if Amazon did, like, a big launch party for Danielle's episode.
We were just literally, like, scrolling through. And then, like, jaws on the floor because it ended. We're like, oh.
After her one-year stint on Home and Away, she released her album. And then that was the start of a 5-studio album career thus far.
Thus far.
Thus far. And countless of compilations. Danny is very much known and celebrated here in the UK as our Queen of Clubs.
She is.
She has 13 consecutive number one dance singles, 9 UK top 10 singles, 12 UK top 30 singles. She has sold over 7 million records worldwide.
But we are a Y2K and noughties pop music podcast. So where we're starting from the girl era is us really like forcing the most exception.
Mm.
96, 97, 98, that is the Y2K movement is starting.
Yes.
So,
but also it's very important that we start here because this is where Danny really feels like she's become her own artiste.
Mm.
You know, she's found her identity, she's found a lane, and she's making a big pop star comeback.
Mm.
This was the fucking era.
Let's get into it. And, you know, we can talk about some of the earlier hits when we get to the first greatest hits as well.
Mm. Okay, so let's get into the girl era, and we're going to start with All I Wanna Do.
It is a new... Danny, you
know. It's a new day for her. She's had the Playboy shoot in Australia come out. She's divorced her husband, Julian McMahon. She's moved on from Mushroom Records, signed a brand new deal with Warner.
Mm.
And this is the relaunch of Danny Minogue. And now as a platinum blonde.
This is such a strong start to the episode, and I really don't want to jump ahead of the gun, but I'm going to say this is my favourite song of everything we're going to talk about today. Because what I've loved about this journey is I've had such admiration for Danny Minogue kind of all my life, all my pop-loving life, especially from a teenager onwards. And I've always really loved her big hits, especially this one, but I've never deep-dived into it. That's what I love is that in this episode, I've always been meaning to. I've just never got round to it.
Mm.
So now I've got into all these albums and everything. But this song was always my way in with Danny and is always the standout song for me.
So I, hands up, was not aware of this song when it first came out in that time. My entry with Danny Minogue would come in the Neon Knights era at the start of that. But over the years, as my fandom grew, I went back and revisited and really spent time with this girl era and this girl album. And this is a fucking banger. I mean, shimmering dance pop greatness produced by Brian Higgins and Matt Gray. This was their breakthrough hit. Without the success of All I Wanna Do with Danny, there will be... No Xenomania, no...
Girls Allowed.
No Girls Allowed, no Cher, Believe. That came after this.
Wow. And the music video. Shall we talk about the music
the
video?
The music video.
It is incredible.
Groundbreaking shit is happening.
You know, she invented the internet.
I was rewatching the video in preparation for this, and my favourite YouTube comment is, nobody had internet connection that fast in 1997.
I mean, dial-up was barely in the works, but she wanted that high fibre broadband.
She's streaming it so well. The concept for J-Lo's first music video, If You Had My Love, that is a direct adaptation of Danny's All I Wanna Do. Danny pioneered that technology.
Everything about this music video, she is so sexy in it and owning her sexuality, but also the visuals of it, the colours,
the
goldfish, the computer stuff, the pinks, like it is a really gorgeous 90s music video.
I love that the inspiration and the main theme of it seems to be taken from the line, I may not be the innocent girl that you want me to be, because you see that scene of her lying in bed and it's that old bubblegum pink bedroom. It's like a little girl's bedroom, but she's a grown woman, you know. She's dressed in white, but, you know, she's showing a bit of cleavage. She's, you know, being very coy and very sexy on the phone. So there's that sort of, it's sort of playing on that image of, you know me as this child star, you know me as this teen star, but this is who I am now.
According to the official charts, this is her best-selling UK single, and deserved. Absolutely deserved.
It's not her highest charting, but it's her best-selling.
So it peaked at number 4 in the UK, and this was her first UK dance number 1 single. Number 11 in Australia, 20 in Belgium, number 19 on the European Hot 100 singles, 5 in Scotland, 48 in Sweden, and 14 in Iceland. At the year-end charts in 97, it was at number 70 on the UK and number 78 in Australia.
So safe to say, August 1997, Danielle Jane was back with a bang. Then in September 1997 comes the album,
Girl.
Again, it was inspired by the line about innocent girl, which was in All I Wanna Do. Now, this is a concept album.
It is a concept album. So this album is part pop, part club, part rave, part experimental, and very edgy for a pop music album in 1997. It creeped in there just before pop music kind of really changed in 98 and 99, which then paved the way for the noughties.
Exactly, where you had the Britney era and the Max Martin, the really kind of manufactured... you know, very slick Swedish pop era. Now this, I would say, it's a time capsule for Britain's club scene, I feel. There isn't an album like this. There wasn't a pop star making an album like this. So it was actually quite bold for her to go out and make a record like this and put it out as one body of work because it was so varied. There was so
very
many
varied.
Very varied strands of electronica and dance.
So were there any standout songs for you on the album?
We're going to talk about the singles, but for me, Someone New, which is a bonus track, absolutely rave-tastic. It is bonkers and so high octane. I love it.
Pop is a clock. I'm at Ibiza.
I'm at GAY.
Let's just fucking go for it, mate. And then I really like Heaven Can Wait. It's very, like, mellow, but at a club.
It's like a chill Ibiza moment.
And then I think So In Love With Yourself, I think everyone can dedicate that to some, like, twat we've all dated or a various line of twats. Like, oh, God, I know I have. And no shade to them. Just, like, crack on, mate. And then some, like, really experimental tracks, like Everybody Changes Underwater, sums up how experimental this album goes.
I think at that time, people didn't know how to take this. People weren't sure who this album was for. because she's presenting herself as this pop star with a dance sound, and she wasn't quite in the dance community yet. You know, this was her first foray into it. So people kind of, I think people in the dance and the club scene were probably
turning their nose up a little bit.
A little bit.
So the album peaked at only 57 in the UK, but did reach number 3 on the UK dance albums. It was number 70 in Scotland and number 69 on the Australian album charts.
Ridiculous.
But, you know, it's had re-releases over the years, and I'm sure it's kind of sold a fair amount of copies over time.
Mm. Hopefully after listening to this episode, sales will jump.
Yeah.
Our mums will go get a copy. 1997 was just a very interesting time for the Minogue sisters.
Right.
Dani was having a resurgence with the Girl album. Kylie, the following month after Dani put out this album, came out with Impossible Princess. So everyone is in a period of change and finding themselves and trying new things and maybe a little bit left of center and not what the audience is expecting of these girls, but they're thriving, they're evolving.
They're taking new turns and choosing new paths and owning them.
Yes. So shout out to
executing it well.
Shout out to the Minogue sisters at this time.
So in October, Dani followed up All I Want to Do with Everything I Wanted.
Ooh. For me, Everything I Wanted was the moment I was listening to the album and I kind of thought, do you know what? This feels like something that could be a Madonna's Ray of Light.
Yeah, the song is definitely like a mood, isn't it? And it's very cool. This video, I mean, is what a gorgeous music video.
We love it. It was shot in all black and white on 16mm handheld camera. It's her driving around Vegas. It's very art housey. It's grainy.
So art housey.
I think she was dating the guy
she was, yeah.
Who was filming her, the director at the time. Just the two of them. I love that. And it's just, it feels intimate and spontaneous and just cool.
I really love the fact that it's just the two of them driving around and stuff, but... And I mean, she's such an incredible, beautiful woman, but she looks so fucking good. There must have been a little bit of hair and makeup or something. And then there's that, like, big Dani sign in lights. I mean, maybe they just sort of pre-prepared.
Mm.
But there are these things that make it feel maybe not as spontaneous as it's sold to us. But maybe I'm just completely wrong. Either way, it's a gorgeous video. And I think Dani said it's one of her favourite music videos she's done. And this song was also featured in the Australian film Head On.
Ooh.
Which is an LGBT plus film, which I've not seen, but I would like to check out.
Okay, Queen of the Gays, Dani.
Yes, but apparently in the scene, the film character dismisses it as nothing but pop fluff.
Oh.
But we need to watch it for context.
Yeah, like, I mean, no, yeah. I wouldn't hear a bad word about Dani's work.
No, but I'm sure it's very much a choice for it to be in there because of the tone of the film and Dani, you know, as an icon of our community.
Mm-hmm.
This song peaked at number 15 in the UK, was another number 1 on the UK dance charts, absolutely slaying the game. 16 in Scotland, 77 in Europe and 44 in Australia. Moving on to March in 1998.
Dismemberance, I have this on vinyl.
Where did you pick that up from?
Just a shop, it was going for £1. You find these things.
You need to bring some of these over to mine and listen to them.
Yes, because you actually have a record player, whereas I just have all these vinyls stacked up and nothing to do with it.
Now, this song, what I love about it is, like, is it a ballad? Is it upbeat? Is it a club song? Is it all of these things?
It's all of that. It is actually one of my favourite Dani ballads, if we want to call it a ballad.
And it's such a hauntingly beautiful song. But if I forget myself, I don't know about you, but I think this could have and would have served a lot better as a Christmas or December release in the year previous. It just has that mood and feel to
it. It's wintry, isn't it?
It is wintry.
Following from All I Want to Do, this was the next biggest choice in my mind commercially. Maybe if she had released this as a second single, the project wouldn't have lost a little bit of momentum. Now, we have to say, this era of Dani performing, she gave us some interesting looks.
Oh, yes.
One of which I've screenshot there. I mean, still the blonde hair, which we love and appreciate, but it's kind of twisted and spiked up.
So I was looking at this hair and I was thinking, you know how there's like, there's something about Mary with the one piece? This is like...
Multiple.
Left an orgy or something. Like, so much going on.
Her styling mood for Disremembrance was actually quite alternative and quite a little bit hippie.
Oh, yeah.
It's like she's wearing long sleeve tops and, you know, black trousers and it's looking very like, edgy. And
I've written some poetry.
Yeah. Like, I smoke weed.
Kind of like, not grunge, not goth, but adjacent to them-ish.
Yeah, adjacent to them, but still glamorous.
But still glamorous. Yeah. And like, yeah, let's do it. So this video... It appears that it's not on YouTube, but it is on there. It's unlisted. Just do a bit of searching, guys, and you will find it.
Get Detective LaToya Jackson on it. Yeah. And also in September and October of 1998, Dani went on a UK-wide tour of...
Unleashed UK tour. So what's really interesting is she was promoting in Australia, Greece. I remember watching an interview, and they're like, so what have you been up to? And she kind of says... Well, my album actually did a lot better in the UK, and I've toured that over there. Like, something along those lines. Now, I tell you what, David, I find the Unleashed tour fascinating. It's one of those things that we always, you know, I kind of always say, oh, if I could go back in time. But I would love to have gone back in time and seen this tour. I mean, the London date was in Lewisham, which is wild.
Now listen, you are touring, and I'm very excited about that because you're going to go. Sorry, that wasn't disrespectful. Because you're going to go off on your plane tonight. She's got a plane waiting for her.
I know.
Right, to take her to a gig tonight. Now that is rock and roll. Isn't it? That's totally rock and roll, and there's nothing wrong with that. And you could fly into Mel B's wedding on the plane, couldn't you? You could just swoop in.
Just fly from above, yeah.
But you're not going to fly on your own. You're going to fly with a little friend of yours.
What's his name? Brought my mate James, the rock god.
Because you start your tour tonight, you start it in Margate.
Yeah, the Winter Gardens. And it's so all come sold on down.
Out. It's rocking.
Well, come. There's still some tickets that we've left, so come down to the show.
Okay, but you're going all around Britain. You're going to sing.
Yeah.
But we all know, can you sing? And now you're going to prove it.
Oh, it's the big question.
Here we go. Dani Minogue live with her friend James just before the gig tonight.
I remember a YouTube comment or somewhere, you know, when you get into those deep dives with the internet, you're looking at stuff. Unfortunately, tickets didn't sell like huge amounts. So allegedly she was kind of telling everyone, and it was in kind of more theatre venues. She'd be on stage singing and she'd tell everyone to come down from the dress circle and just turn like the stalls into a dance floor with whoever was there. Just like, come on down and let's have fun and have a party.
Love it.
She had a disco medley on that tour, which we're then going to see influences later in her career. Mm. We're going to see that even the term unleashed comes on later in her career.
Yes. She does not like to be leashed this morning.
It's just a real shame that this is the only UK tour, or the only really Dani tour as a solo artist to date. You know, I'm still ready and waiting. You know, most recently she was the very special guest of Take That's Tour in Australia.
Amazing.
She's done the Mardi Gras sets, one of which you've seen, but we might talk about that again in a little bit. I would love to see Dani live.
I saw her at GAY after her Mardi Gras set. Oh. Like, it's virtually the same set, same costume, same props, same dancers, everything. But she added Love Fight, which she's never performed live before.
Wow.
At the GAY show. And I was there, and honestly... I was in heaven.
Literally, you were in heaven.
I was in heaven. But you can find this Mardi Gras set on YouTube, and you need to watch it because
you've
Dani,
showed it to me. David.
I know, but I'm saying US in everyone. Dani puts in the production value and the songs, like the way it's been mixed and remixed, and you know, for a live show setting, is incredible. And I believe Ian Masterson helped her do that.
She should do like a world club tour of that set.
She should have, at that point, and she still could do it now. Yeah.
Moving on from Disremembrance, we have an Australian only single of Coconut in November. 1998. Now, this is
a choice.
This song is a lot, and I'm just going to say, is it bad? And I do feel bad that I don't like this song, because this seems to be quite a relevant song that pops up kind of a lot. Popped up on her tour of the Unleashed tour. It popped up on the 95 sessions.
Every single time Coconut has been brought up, I can't figure out whether people are taking a piss or they genuinely like it. If you are a Danny fan who appreciates Coconut,
yeah, let us know. And let us know how you feel.
And don't take a piss. Like, you, if you genuinely think it's a stunning...
Like, yeah, there's a lot going on there. And maybe that a lot, like, really ticks your boxes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware it's a cover, but it's literally bonkers. And I can't listen to it.
So I did a bit of a dig around, because I was like, is there no video for this? When she joined the X Factor and there was like a bunch of those releases that were pushed out, there was a Danny the Videos DVD. It had like that sticker on it that was like the X Factor judge. Coconut was on there as a bonus, so I managed to go into the depths of the internet and find it, but it's just a mashup of the other clips from the other videos of this era. And it's so funny that how much the All I Want to Do, Everything I Wanted in Disremembrance, when you put a mashup of those videos together, they do not go together well at all. You know, they're,
I mean,
so three different videos.
Very different moments.
In 1999, the girl era was sort of done for Danny, but she did something very exciting and interesting. The single Everlasting Night, which was the official single of Mardi Gras in 1999.
Danny is coming out of one of the busiest and most successful years of her career, sparked ironically by her debut Mardi Gras performance last year. She's since scored four dance music hits and a starring role in Greece while trying to maintain commitments in two countries at the same time. Only a few short months ago, we saw her as a blonde calendar girl. Today, she's a fit, more confident brunette between record labels, having her first single of the year released on the new Mardi Gras Records brand. And she's gone from calendar girl to gay rights advocate.
The main issue is acceptance of people in our community, whether they're wearing a wig and high heels or whether they're just hanging out at a coffee shop, is to accept people. And I mean, I'm not saying gay people are better than straight people or vice versa. I'm saying people are people and like people for who they are.
So I didn't know about this song until researching for this episode. So I knew about the more recent Mardi Gras appearance and that incredible performance, but I had no idea she had already done it, but with an original song for Mardi Gras. Was this a song you were familiar with growing up in Australia?
99, I was like literally fresh off the boat in Australia, me and my family. I didn't know what a Mardi Gras was at that time, probably. But over the years, when I was volunteering at the gay and lesbian radio station, Joy, this song would come up every year,
really?
Especially in the lead up to Mardi Gras season. Like, it would just get on high rotation.
That's amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of love for this.
Get it, Danny girl. Sing it out.
What I really, really like about this song and this music video is that it's so 90s and noughties pop, but it's also so disco at the same time. It's just all those three beautiful things merged together into a fantastic thing. She looks bloody amazing in the music video. Like, I love this sort of, this dark shoulder-length hair, especially considering the era that we've just had and, like, how we've seen all those different looks. It's a bit more stripped back, but, yeah, like, how you're going to look on a night out in Ibiza, or I imagine, yeah, a big night out in Mardi Gras or
in
whatever,
Sydney, yeah.
In Sydney. And, you know, before Drag Race, there was Danny.
Drag Race UK need to get her next season.
Next season.
Have they had Kylie? They've had Kylie, right?
Not as far as I'm aware. Imagine if they were on an episode together, how amazing that
would be. No, I want it spaced out. Each Minogue needs their own moment. So Everlasting Night made number 42 in Australia.
You've got to look at this as more of an independent release and also being a song catered to the gay and lesbian market in 1999, that 42 in the Australian charts in that sense is actually an amazing thing.
It's a celebration point, yes.
Before we get into the next era, Danny started 99 with this, but then also that summer, Danny starred in Macbeth in the Edinburgh Fringe Festival that year.
What a thespian.
A theatre actress. She's done huge arena tours of Greece.
Mm.
I just love that. I'd love to have been able to see that.
Yeah.
And then we're going to skip on to 2001 now.
And this was the first time I was aware of what a Dani Minogue was. This was my first time seeing her, I believe, through Who Do You Love Now featuring Reva. Or I should say Reva featuring Dani, but, you know, it's... It's Danny's episode, it's not Reva's episode. So the song started out as Stringer, which is an instrumental track that was attracting a lot of buzz and doing really well in the club scenes. Like, it was like, you know, absolutely hot in Ibiza.
Do you think songs still do that? Like, this is such a world that I'm not in touch
with. I don't know of stuff like this happening outside of Danny's universe.
Yeah.
I don't really know of any other artists that have done it the
Sophie
way she has.
Sophie did it? Groove Jet?
Oh, yeah, Groove Jet, yeah. Okay, Who Do You Love Now? You can tell we're two gays on the wine doing a podcast.
At 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
First time I saw this music video, I was like, who is this stunning woman?
Yeah, I love it because, like, and this is in a really, like, positive way, not a negative way, but it just feels like Auntie living her best life. Because 2001 kind of looked like that, like the simple black dress and, like, the lovely short brown hair.
It's sort of like a Rachel Bob, but shorter.
Yeah, it's like... The kids will see you just, like, drunk and having a good time. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And I've screenshot one of Danny's performances of Who Do You Love Now.
Me
and
rocking up to my niece and nephew's birthday party.
That's you to a T with that, you know...
that hat.
That purple fedora.
And the glove. Don't touch me, germs. Hello.
She looks a little bit like a baby Joan Collins here, and I really celebrate and embrace that wholeheartedly.
You know how, like, Delta played Olivia? We need to see Danny play Joan. You've never watched it. You walked in on me watching a bit of Delta, didn't you, as Olivia?
Yeah, I didn't stay.
I think maybe I'll do, like, set apart a Sunday afternoon, just invite people over, booze, food, Delta, Olivia, done.
That is, yeah, an experience. Who Do You Love Now came out at a very interesting time. Can Get You Out of My Head and Kylie's Fever album was absolutely everywhere. This was peak Minogue era for me. I was obsessed with Can Get You Out of My Head. I was obsessed with the whole Fever album. And then to discover there is another Minogue that is making excellent moves in music, I was like, I need to know all about this bitch. I could not get enough of Danny at this time. And it is only going to accelerate at this point, I'm telling you.
I would love, like, a Minogue Variety Hour special. You know, like, how there's, like, that one sketch they did together. Like, a Christmas special or a holiday special or just any time. And it's just them, like, both can do songs separately, can do songs together, can do some sketches together, get Brendan involved, get the mum and dad involved. Like, how wonderful that would be.
Christmas with the Minogues.
Yeah.
The beautiful thing about Who Do You Love Now is that it came with the seal of approval from the godfather of dance music, Pete Tong. He was the one who saw this track. It was moving in Ibiza. He requested for Danny to do the vocal for it. I mean, how could you say no to Pete Tong? That is the ultimate seal of approval and endorsement from the dance music community.
And really, I don't know what... Like, say this had never happened, I don't know what the rest of her music career would look like. Like, it really,
it set the blueprint for Neon Nights and beyond.
So the single was, you know, a huge success here. Number 3 in the UK. Strangely peaked at number 5 on the UK dance charts, though. How these separate charts work is I always thought they would be higher than where they are in the main charts because it's kind of a sub part of that. No idea. Maybe our friends at the official charts can give us a PowerPoint presentation or something of how these charts all work. But 4 on the Ireland dance charts, but 20 overall in Ireland. Number 15 in Australia. Did chart within like the top 20 and the top 30, top 40 in several countries around Europe.
And amazingly, cracked the US Billboard Dance Club chart at number 12.
Oh, amazing.
This is Dani Minogue's longest stay on the UK singles chart. She spent 16 weeks on our chart.
Wow.
People were lapping it up.
But before we leave that all entirely, David, I've got a few more things I need to talk about. I mean, he's shocked. I never come with this much research. So, prior to that in 2001, it was a very interesting year for Danielle. She starred in Notre Dame de Paris at the Dominion Theatre, taking over a role from Tina Arena.
Iconic Australian female artist only.
I mean, you'd go to see Tina and then you'd be like, fucking hell, I've got to go and see that show again. See Danny! And she also starred in the Vagina Monologues as well. So a lot of theatre and then back with this big club hit, Who Do You Love Now? David, you're the Danny expert here. Why am I coming here with facts that you don't know? So anyway, we've officially left you, apart from that tangent, which you're here for the tangents, I hope.
So just as the way All I Want to Do set off a new golden period for Danny in 97, 2001, she signed a new record deal with London Records, and this will be a start of a golden era for her where it's the first of 7 consecutive UK top 20 singles.
Wow.
What a stretch.
From here and the next album has never dated, and as always we were saying, still a blueprint for her.
Yes, always celebrated. So let's get into the Neon Nights era.
We are going to get into November 2002. Put the needle on it.
This is a signature Danny song.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
At my first year of being at stage school, we did in modern, which is a style of dance, modern dance. We had our ISTD examinations coming up. There's a dance choreographed by the teacher, and she taught us a dance to Put the Needle on It by Danielle. It's such an uncool style of dance, so it's so funny that like...
Do you have any tape of this?
No.
I'm going to ask Wendy.
No, there's no tape of it. I just remember it started with like... step, click, on the like, put the needle on it.
I feel like I can even follow in on this, and I have no dance training.
And I got an A for the examination.
Oh!
And bearing in mind, I remember there was like, so I knew all of it, but there was just one piece of syllabus for the life of me, I could never remember what it was. So I did the whole exam knowing everything apart from this one thing, which you can't really go into an exam not knowing a dance, but it just would not stick in my mind. So I just sold like Put the Needle on It and still got an A.
Amazing.
I think weirdly that was kind of my way in with Danny Minogue. 13-year-old me, that's it. And then off the back of that, everything else
flourishes around that. I love stories from your performing days as a kid. It fills me with so much joy because I wanted to be that kid.
Oh, I tell you what, David, it's all fun and games in hindsight, but I'm only at the place now where it's all fun and games.
Okay.
Like, there's like a lot of other shit.
Yes, it's dark.
Where it's just teachers being like, you're not very good, are you?
That sounds like a Cheryl Hole voice. when Put the Needle On It came out, I have to say, I've never fucking heard anything like this. This was groundbreaking shit to me. It was dark, sexy electro pop. The lyrics, Dirty Hands, I Demand, was my MSN Messenger update for such a long time.
And how old were you?
15. Okay,
so just starting to be a bit like...
you know, discovering myself.
So as being in Australia at the time, did you feel like this was a big song there?
This was fucking big. Okay, this was big. This got the support on MTV, on radio stations everywhere, and it felt cool. Like, it was written about in smash hits, it was reviewed in the papers, broadsheets, everywhere. Like, this era of Danny was very on point. So Danny wrote this song with Corpion Black Cell and Karen Poole. From Alicia's Attic.
Yeah, I was
Attic.
Just looking at that.
Yeah.
So, and it says previous collaborator Karen Poole. So I wonder what they worked on together before. Was it wasn't Who Do You Love Now, was it?
Don't know. But, so you know, Karen writes with lots of people and lots of different songs. I think around this time, Karen did do Red Blooded Woman for Kylie as well, or with Kylie. And can we talk about Danny's hair?
Yeah, we can.
Do you not like it?
I was going to ask you, what do you think about Danny's hair in this era?
Oh, I love it. I love... it suits her. The short crop with the blonde highlights, it was just sexy and it was a little bit 80s and it was a little bit...
It's not my favourite haircut, but who the fuck am I? She looks gorgeous no matter what. What the hell do I know? It doesn't really matter what I think. This song was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Brilliant, brilliant first single.
I'm really sorry. I said before it was I Begin to Wonder that was going to be the almost chart battle with Kylie. It was this song. It was going to be Put the Needle On It versus Kylie's Come Into My World, the fourth single from Fever. It ended up shifting a little bit, and I think Come Into My World was released later, like a couple of weeks later after Danny's. Gosh.
And so that, Come Into My World, whenever it was released, peaked at number 8. You just don't know the way the press would have done it. And Danny doesn't need that on, like, her first single of a new album.
No.
Like, just let it be and let it fly.
Exactly. So... Put the Needle On It debuted and peaked at number 7 on the UK charts. It spent 15 weeks on the UK singles chart. Her longest stay was with Who Do You Love Now for 16 weeks. So this is not bad. Number 1 on the UK dance charts. Number 11 in Australia where it certified gold. And it made number 11 on the year-end dance singles chart there as well. Also, Joel, can we just give a big shout out to the year 2002 and what a moment in pop it was. S Club Juniors had 4 UK top 10s that year. It was a big era for Atomic Kitten. That was a Feel So Good album, you know, with The Tide Is High and all that. Liberty X, Sugar Babes with their Angels With Dirty Faces era.
Someone tweeted the other day something about 2002 and I just put Take Me Back to 2002, prayer emoji. So she had a little break over Christmas. Maybe Kylie, Danny and Brendan all got together at the parents over Christmas, had a little bit of Christmas tea.
Mapped out 2003 together.
Brendan, get the Excel document up, darling. Let's see what we're all up to. And in March, comes back with the fucking banger, I Begin to Wonder. I think this song is even better than Put the Needle On It.
Did you know this was a cover at that time?
No. You've got me.
When she released this, I was like, oh. It wasn't big, but it was familiar. Like, it was being played on MTV and stuff like that, randomly.
And so who was the original by?
So JCA, which is the music producer behind this record, Jean-Claude Aid. So he did the original with some, you know, renter vocalists, not very distinct. And right. It's virtually identical to Danny's version, except the vocals aren't as good. So London Records played Danny that version. And
she felt great.
She was like, yeah, this could definitely be a pop hit. So they approached the producer and they reproduced it slightly, but, you know, very minor tweaks.
Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
Know?
And she released it and the rest is history. Like, forget the other version. You've got the Danny version. Can we talk about the music video? Oh. Because you hinted before about the hair extensions.
Yeah.
I thought it was wild when she got out those fucking huge scissors and started cutting the ends of it. I was like, what is this? What is this symbol? She was crawling through the vent, very Lara Croft meets La Femme Nikita, you know, she was doing her own stunts. Thank you for the wine. Do you remember that scene where she had the hand dryer and she turned it upwards?
Definitely. And that is like Queen of Clubs doing like what you do at a club.
I've never seen that before because obviously I was in high school at that time. I've not been clubbing. So I was like, I didn't even know you could turn the hand dryer upwards. And after I saw that in a music video, every time I went to a shopping mall, dried my hands, I turned it upwards and like had a little like, you know, wind through the hair moment in there when no one was looking.
Shall we talk about charts for this single?
Yes.
This single peaked at number 2 on the UK charts. Isn't that amazing?
Danny's highest charting hit in the UK. Deserved.
Deserved. Again, number 1 on the UK dance chart. Number 14 on the US Billboard Hot Dance Singles chart. Number 2 in Scotland. 22 in Ireland. Said it last episode, guys. Come on, Ireland. What are you thinking? Number 14 in Australia. Like, come on, David. Like, that's all right. But, like, no offence, Aussies. But do you support your girls?
Around the time of this single coming out, it was a really fun tabloidy moment for the Minogue sisters. Kylie had just performed at the Brits with Justin Timberlake.
Mm.
And there was all these rumours that Justin was going out with Danny because they were seen out at dinner together, out at a party afterwards.
You know, Justin, I don't want to be just some rebound from Britney. Oh my God, no, tell me what she was really like. Oh no, Justin, stop it. No.
Is that what I sound like in your head?
No, not at all.
Kind of like the best thing for me about that night was I got to see my sister perform and she was wicked. And then we had the best, like, fun just running around together and we were calling our brother in Australia. And it was kind of, for me, I know everybody's focusing on the Justin thing, but I had a really good time with Kylie.
Yeah, no, it must be nice for you two to be in the same place at the same time and just enjoy yourselves.
Yeah, somebody said, I was sure, you know, the two Minogue sisters is really one person because you never see them together. So finally, ended that room.
Sound of wine being poured.
The same month as I Begin to Wonder, huge hit. Danny released the seminal album, Neon Nights.
Woo!
Here we are, guys. This is what it's all about. This is the kind of magnum opus kind of album that every pop star dreams and hopes of. That one album that will give you everlasting credibility.
Yes.
And respect from the gays and musos and a special place in people's hearts for eternity.
Mm. On top of, obviously, in our opinions, this being the best Danny Minogue album. Mm. It's really good to see that she's celebrating it. She's embraced it. She reissued this on vinyl for its 15th anniversary, or Danniversary, if you will.
It's a mainstream hit, but it's such a cult hit.
It is a cult classic.
And first and foremost, it's a paycheck for them, but also, like, it's great that the fans who, like, most importantly, it's the fans that want it, have it on vinyl. Like,
yeah. So let's talk about the artwork first, because this is like a real mood, isn't it? This is like an aesthetic that she's going for. And I love that it's very simple. It's basically, you know, Danny after a night out.
Yeah, exactly. It's either getting ready, it's pre or post the night out.
Mm.
Probably more so towards the after night out. Like, oh, I'm putting my shoes on, but I'm a bit drunk, but still opulence.
We copied a famous old shot of Liza Minnelli from Studio 54, which sort of kicked off the whole dance scene and the whole glamour club going out. And there was a shot of her crawling across the floor, and we loved this. So copied that, and that ended up being the album cover.
So in a way, that girl was giving you lots of different ideas and different streams of electronica and techno and dance music. This feels like a more properly curated, to borrow your word, properly curated listening experience. There is a twist of the 80s in there as well, which I really like.
Oh, yeah. It's like cool current clubs with a hint of
80s. Yeah, like, it can almost feel like the energy of Boy George and Adam Ant and Paula Abdul was coming through on some of these tracks.
Oh, yeah. But do you not think that For the Record sounds very Madonna-esque? Mm. And it's like, especially ahead of what's to come, it sounds like a very Madonna-influenced record.
It's totally very Madonna-influenced. And to me, like, For the Record, Mystified, like, that kind of really bubbly pop hooks, it really sounds like, you know, Paula Abdul songs that have been remixed and released in the noughties.
So yeah, I've also got Mystified as one of my favourites, and then also Hey So What and Vibe On are some kind of standouts for me on the album.
Vibe On. Plug it in, give me my vibe on. I mean, I love the lyrics, you know, the kind of spoken word bit where it goes, oh my God, look what she's got in the bag. Does anyone know where I can get one of those? It's just like, it's just everything about this song is just like, it's
fab.
It's just hilarious.
What else stands out for you on the album?
In the reissue edition with more tracks, Just Can't Give You Up. Champagne soaked, absolute club hun, club disco hun vibes. I love track two, which is Creep. You know, that really dark, seductive vibe. It was just the perfect follow on from Put the Needle on It.
So the album was an absolutely huge success. It peaked at number 8 here on the UK album charts and number 1 on the UK dance album charts. Number 8 on the Scottish charts, 25 in Australia. Come on, David, you guys need to, like, get your shit together.
We do. So here in the UK, number 8, not only that, it spent 12 weeks on the charts, which is her longest staying album here since Loving Kisses, her first album.
Wow.
Which also peaked at number 8. Now, Joel, around this time, she also did a promo tour where she performed in Hackney Empire.
Yeah, she also did Party in the Park in July 2003.
There was, and I even get giddy saying this, 100,000 people. It was a beautiful, sunny day. A lot of my favourite pop performers were there, the Mystique Girls, the Atomic Kitten Girls, met up with Blue backstage. Then I was on stage just after Beyoncé, which was, wow, amazing. So she was coming off, I was walking on stage. I can't tell you how frightened I was. Really, really, really petrified. My favourite bit was I got to film the whole audience just going mad, and it's just such a great memory.
June 2003 comes the third single, or fourth if you count Who Do You Love Now, Don't Want to Lose This Feeling, and I absolutely fucking love this song.
What a banging third single for an, like, for an album campaign. For your third single to be such a bloody banger. Like, that is absolutely fantastic. And you can't talk about this song without talking about Don't Want to Lose This Groove, which we've been teasing the whole time.
Into the Groove was the Madonna song that she mashed up with.
So yeah, it was a Danny and Madonna mashup, and we all know how Madonna is very kind of strict. Not anyone can just sample or cover Madonna's song. It has to have a blessing of approval.
So and Danny was saying, and Danny was saying, apparently it's the first time Madonna's allowed another artist to sample her.
And what another artist to let? Imagine if, like, Madonna did a big tour and she invited Kylie and Danny to come out.
Legends supporting legends.
You could imagine, like, an interview where Madonna's like, so I had the Minogue sisters over for dinner and we discussed needs to be a bit more of a fake British accent put in as well. It's hard to do that American with fake British, like, in my time in London. It's a bit like that, yeah. And have you noticed that Michelle Visage just started to do that a little bit now? She's doing a lot of things here.
I mean, my accent changes all the time.
Do your family say when you go home you sound British?
Yeah,
or
people
anything?
Tell me all the time when I'm talking to my friends back home.
What do you mean, Governor?
Well.
Well, pip pip.
Don't want to lose this feeling. Music video. Mm. Now, I love that she's 32, which is the age I am currently. And she looks like a teenager in this video. Like, she literally looks like a 19-year-old, 20-year-old girl. You know, in a Supre commercial, like, you know, very carefree, and dancing on a beach.
Yeah, it's kind of that, like, neon caravan in a desert kind of thing.
Yeah,
on a beach.
Beach.
And it's, like,
I'm
really cool
it.
And glamorous.
Yeah, it's glamorous, it's fun, it's young. And I'm like, get it, bitch. Like, milk this, Danny. So Danny's single, Don't Want to Lose This Feeling, debuted and peaked at number 5 on the UK charts, where it spent 12 weeks there. Fucking incredible, again.
Number 2 on the UK dance charts, 8 on the US dance slash mix show airplay billboard charts. Yeah, we laugh, but kind of any recognition in America is such a big deal.
Yeah. Do you think we've charted on, like, some obscure podcast?
We ain't charted nowhere, huh?
Bubbling under.
So also in this era, David, clearly someone's not done any research for this episode. She also was hosting a Neon Nights radio show around this time, which did air in both the UK and Australia, where she played other hits, her own hits.
You know, she was kind of like dance music curator du jour at this time.
God, like drinking game for every time we say curator on this episode. Danny had an extremely celebrated era then, and now we're going to move on to another year later.
There is a little bit of a break from this Neon Nights era before she launches into her next. And this is the part I can't quite figure out what has happened. Because it seemed like she'd done very well on London Records with the Neon Nights album and, you know, the singles and everything. But then suddenly she switched to another label.
All around the world.
All around the world, which, you know, looks after Cascada and...
What I read what's happened, and there's a lot of question marks and stuff around this. So she was with London, which is under Warner, and apparently there was different heads of and merges shuffle up in Warner, and they gave her the ultimatum that she'd have to wait another year to release an album under Warner, which makes no sense to me. So she opted to leave and move to All Around the World.
You know, not to be critical, but I did notice that it's just not as cool,
yeah,
not as chic as
what happens
the
now is that it just seems. So if you look at the TV show Glee, the first 13 episodes are really quite, like, cool, interesting. And then everything else after that is trying to recreate what the first 13 episodes were. So it seems like they've taken, like, the formula of Neon Nights, what's worked, what hasn't. And they seem to have ticked what they think's worked and then pushing the dance element of that from here on out. And unfortunately, there's still some really good bits of work.
Oh, yes.
But it seems like it slightly misses what Neon Nights was.
Yeah.
But that does happen to pop stars, that Neon Nights was such a special piece of work.
I've gone into this era a little bit negatively. I do apologise, but I do genuinely love You Won't Forget About Me. So, October 2004, after almost a year out, Danny is back with You Won't Forget About Me, a huge Ibiza-ready house pop extravaganza. I mean, my favourite part of this song is the orchestral strings. Like, it just sounds lush. It just sounds rich. And this actually originally started out as a huge dance instrumental track, just like a lot of Danny's other singles. The original track was called Flower Power, and she wrote You Won't Forget About Me over the top.
I love that, like, at this time in music, it's like, if you've had a huge club hit, like a non-lyrical club hit, they're like, Dani Minogue's the person to bring that to the
mainstream. She's got the magic, yeah. She's got the crossover potential there.
Yeah. I do feel like the music video is a bit cheap, but it's really nice to have a video with a bit of character. After all of the incredible but kind of straight up videos we've had, it's nice to have this, like, Hun's having a good time in a flat dancing around kind of video. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And the reverse effect was very, like, early days of learning how to use iMovie. Mm. I definitely used a trick like this in my year 10 or year 11 media studies project. And then when I saw this music video, I was like, oh, Danny, I could have done that for you.
I still use that at work today. Like, if we need to, like, elongate a clip a bit, I'm like, we'll just reverse it.
Yeah. So You Won't Forget About Me made number 7 in the UK, number 20 in Australia, which isn't bad considering that, you know, our support's never been super strong. It's another top 20 hit for her.
Interestingly, number 2 in Scotland, 12 in Italy, 22 in Ireland, but number 3 on the Ireland dance charts. Hello, Ireland dance charts, where have you been?
Mm.
And then she leaves us waiting a year again, Danny move.
A whole year.
She's just like, one and done for a year. Like, you're welcome, gays. Like, I've given you something to dance to for a year. I'll see you then.
October 2005, she comes back with Perfection. Now, this is Campus Rock.
So a thing about me, which you get a hint of, but a lot of people don't realise about me, is that, like, I love Motown and disco, and they are things I love so much. The film The Last Days of Disco is one of my favourite films of all time. I had the honour of screening that at the Barbican and hosting it with the director. And Turn the Beat Around is one of my favourite songs ever.
Oh!
So anything that resembles that or features that, I just can't help but absolutely love. She uses it so well in this song. I do think this song lends itself to be, like, a huge summer bop. So I wish it had just been... It had an October release here in the UK. I wish it had just been released a little bit earlier in the year, kind of like a June or July release, so it could be a huge summer bop all summer long.
This is Danny Minogue's Mi Chica Latina video.
Yeah, exactly that. But with a nice bit more choreography.
And a stylish parasol.
Shaznay Lewis's husband was one of the backing dancers in the promo era of this.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, he was Jerry's dancer back in the day, circa the Spices.
Wow, do the rounds. Like, booked, I mean, and busy.
Booked and busy.
Dream of a dancer.
Yeah. June 2006, Danny Minogue returns with So Under Pressure.
This was kind of the year before she joined the X Factor. But it's just really weird how the mind sort of changes things up for you. So, yeah, she released this song in 2006. And I've got to say, kind of, the styling of everything, the music video, is, like, you watch it, is so 2006.
The fashion and everything is very much of its time. But the big talking point about So Under Pressure was that she wrote this after Kylie's cancer diagnosis yeah. came out. And also, she, you know, her best friend was going through something similar as well. It was a difficult time for her, and that's how the song came about.
It helped me realise how I felt about it, because obviously I'm extremely protective, and as are the whole family, and it was a private time. And
Kylie made her first public appearance since dealing with everything that she'd been through with you on stage that night, which must have been very special for you.
It was. I mean, at the time, it wasn't really planned that way, but she was the first one to say, you know, when are you going to do a hits album, put all the songs together? And she loves, like, all of the old stuff. And then I said I was doing a show where I was going to go back and perform those. She said, I've got to be there. So she was being all, like, proud big sister, sitting up on the balcony watching, and came down to greet me at the end of the show and decided to come on stage. And it was just something that happened in the moment, and obviously the next day when pictures went around the world, we realised, oh, this is the first, you know, public appearance, and she's standing on a stage with a microphone, and an amazing moment. But right at that time, for me, it was my big sister being there, and it's hard for anyone else to understand that.
So Under Pressure made number 20 on the UK charts and number 16 in Australia. So in the same month, Danny released The Hits and Beyond. On there, obviously, all the singles.
This album, and I think this was the first time I was kind of introduced to, like, This Is It, Baby Love, Jump to the Beat, Love and Kisses, success. And, like, I have been fascinated ever since.
Mm.
And it is literally from then until now that I've been meaning to do the deep dive.
So the Hits and Beyond album made number 17 on the UK albums chart, number 2 on the UK dance album charts.
Number 67 in Australia. What were you guys thinking?
I really thought it was like a top 30 album in Australia. There was so much promo for it. There was so much presence. Like, same here with the UK, I guess, or maybe less than the UK. I don't know. But it felt like a very present campaign for Danny, this Hits and Beyond era.
Although I Can't Sleep at Night was technically the next single, before that, in December 2006 in the UK, Danny released He's the Greatest Dancer, her cover of the Chic song He's the Greatest Dancer.
I remember loving this cover.
Which had an April release in Australia, 2007.
Mm.
So did you know, which I found out in the research for this episode, that was due to be the Children in Need single of 2006?
Iconic.
So allegedly, Danny was due to be on Strictly Come Dancing that year. She dropped out to do the X Factor. So this was lined up to be the Children in Need single. Because she dropped out of Strictly Come Dancing, Emma Bunton's cover of Downtown became the Children in Need single that year.
It could have been such a great moment for Danny. And such a fun song.
Could have been a big hit. But do you think doing X Factor's probably done more for her TV career than being 100%. A contestant on Strictly?
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's the right move. But also, I would have liked an alternate, you know, narrative where she did Strictly and then releases a song called He's the Greatest Dancer, which is
a Children in Need single.
I mean, that sounds secure to me.
Yeah,
I'd still
love Danny to do Strictly. Like, I think it's always kind of been rumoured that they're desperate for her to do it.
Mm.
And she did still perform it. It was the opening song on Children in Need that year. An amazing performance.
Live on Children in Need night, it's Danny Minogue!
Just from this, it made me realise that Danny needs to work with Nile Rodgers for an album. Could you imagine how amazing that album would be?
A Nile Rodgers, Danny Minogue album, that would be amazing.
So as far as I'm aware, there was no video. But on that DVD she released, I think the Children in Need performance was on it.
So He's the Greatest Dancer made number 1 on the UK Upfront club charts, number 9 on the Spanish singles chart, and number 37 on the Australian singles chart, where it was released there the following year in 2007. So, January 2007, she's still going with it. You know, she's got original songs on the Hits and Beyond album, I Can't Sleep at Night. I don't remember it being a particularly
big
single moment.
But there was a music video for it.
Mm.
And she's kind of like a hun auntie, like in an empty flat.
Oh, is this the one with the kind of 50 Shades of Grey bondage thing? Mm,
she's sort of like doing a sexy dance and then a guy's watching from another flat.
Mm.
But it's like, we'd all do that if we'd hide an Airbnb with these big open walls. We'd all fucking dance around like that, you know? Danny's just living her best self, which is what we'd all probably do.
Yeah, and that's why she always knock on my bedroom door before coming in.
So, in late 2007, Danny started her first year as one of the judges on the X Factor UK.
Huge deal.
Huge deal. And as most recently as this year, she was crowned the best ever X Factor judge on a Radio Times poll. So get it, Danny. More recently, she's been a judge on the Australian version of the X Factor.
The People's Minogue reigns again and again.
A worldwide queen.
And, like, literally this year she did The Masked Singer in Australia.
With Lindsay Lohan. So, Dani released Club Disco, which is her next album. And it was originally titled to be Heavy Disco, which could have been a cool title. But if it needed to be, like, edgier to be called Heavy Disco.
Yeah, it can't be this fluffy and you can't call it Heavy Disco with this.
And I do think it's an okay album. Compared to Neon Nights, it's quite disappointing, I'd say.
No, this is cheap compared to Neon Nights.
And I would say this is similar to, like, how Free Me and Life in Mono are for Emma Bunton. This is how Neon Nights and Club Disco are for Dani Minogue. As in, like, the album's okay. Both, like, the albums are okay respectively, but compared to the body of work you've given us previously, which are incredible, so cool, it just didn't work. And I think what's really weird, like, there were so many singles used for this, 6 in total. Only one was out after the album. And she had other, because she was so big on the X Factor at the time, there were other compilation albums, like budget release compilation albums, rushed out to coincide with the big promotion of the X Factor. This got a bit lost in the shuffle, and also because there's so many singles on it, many of which were already on the greatest hits.
It feels like a
compilation album.
It feels like a compilation album. Like, I was very, very confused about what this was. For the longest time, I got this mixed up with another album that was out, another compilation, I should say, called Unleashed, which came out, in Australia in November 2007. So,
and it's crazy that they're using the title Unleashed even nearly 10 years after that was the title of Dani's tour.
Yeah.
Unleashed was one of those, like,
Budget compilations
that were released at the time that had that X Factor sticker on it, like the X Factor judge. So there was a DVD to out that, which was Dani Minogue the videos, and had this sticker on it that was like the X Factor branding to make people go, oh.
Yeah.
But it does feel in a way that this kind of had a quiet release, because it was a digital-only release here in the UK, had a physical release in Australia, which wasn't until summer 2008. On the UK, it hit number 8 on the dance albums chart and 17 on the digital albums charts. And then in terms of songs, were there any standouts for you?
I have to say, the Afterlife lounge remixes of You Won't Forget About Me and I Can't Sleep At Night, very lush, very gentle Ibiza chill tracks. I love them. They're on my kind of red wine and bath time playlists.
I need access to all these playlists.
Oh,
David.
Yes. Again, amazing, credible names that worked on this with Dani. You know, you got Jason Nevins, Soul Seekers, LMC did a couple of tracks here. Rob Davis, who's written with Kylie, Circa Fever, and Sophie Ellis Bextor, Jules and Stone. Like, they're good names to be associated with on the project. I just don't know if this really hangs together as a body of work.
I think that Gone and Sunrise were the kind of standout true album tracks for me on this album.
Shall we move on to the final single of this album?
Touch Me Like That.
Oh, Joel, your mum's listening. Now, I love this one. This one is very much a little bit of a banger. And it samples You Make Me Feel Mighty Real by Sylvester.
Which is such a banger.
You know what? Dani really has good sampling
choices.
Queen
of samples.
Yeah.
Queen of clubs, queen of samples.
She does it very well.
So she released this in December. She was going after that Christmas number one in December 2007. So I guess it's this song that my mind was confusing for So Under Pressure, in the terms of that when she was on X Factor and when she was promoting a song. So do you not think that on the cover she looks like Sophie Ellis-Bextor on this?
This is a real Sophie Ellis-Bextor look, yeah. I think it's the eyebrows, it's the curls, the bouncy curls and the big hair.
And the porcelain white skin.
Porcelain white skin, yeah. But Danielle looks amazing here. Anyone who's watched a music video and any behind the scenes or any interview says she's done in this time, she will not hesitate to remind you that those arm gloves are latex and they fucking hurt.
We've got so much talcum powder and oil to get me into them. I mean, I'm spitballing there. I've not seen one interview of her talking about
verbatim.
This.
That is literally verbatim. It's a sexy video and I love it. I think she just looks so glamorous here. And I mean, oh my God, hang on a minute. In a review for Digital Spy, Nick Levine described the song as a sticky, sweaty club banger. He'd know about that.
Oh, hi, Nick. Yeah.
I'm here for it more so than I can't sleep at night. I would have loved it if Love Fight was a single instead.
What would you say was your favourite of the singles off of Club Disco? You Won't Forget About Me,
Perfection. Oh, 100%. You Won't Forget About Me, for me, is like quintessential Danny. And Touch Me Like That.
My favourite of the singles here is definitely Perfection. Mm. Like, should have been a summer bop. Nice choreography with the boys. So really, that wraps up where we're at with Danielle, and then she used the rest of the decade being a judge on X Factor Australia. Along the way, she released her book, My Story. Which you love. She released a style book, a present queen on television.
And also, before we wrap up this decade for Danny, in 2008, she did a duet with Kylie on a cover of the ABBA song, The Winner Takes It All, for Beautiful People.
Oh, which we must not skip over. Danny did a brilliant cameo on Beautiful People, which I showed you. She references being on Reading on the Unleashed tour at the time. And she looks very like All I Want to Do video. It's a really absolute classic clip and classic comedy clip as well. And they make a joke of the X Factor and really, really, really. I think what we love, I don't know about you, but as someone that like loves comedy as much as pop music, I love seeing our pop queens not taking themselves seriously and doing really good comedy, like, which is why I love Vicky B so much. It's so lovely seeing Danny do this, and then
Mariah,
and that skit that Danny did with Kylie, like, it's just so wonderful, because it's like, you're perceived in such a way, but you're also like, come on, let's just have some fun.
Yeah.
Let's do something really funny for people to enjoy.
Exactly. She's the people's Minogue.
So that wraps up our Danny episode. I have absolutely loved doing this deep dive of Danny, which I've been meaning to do for the last 15 years. So thank you for finally pushing me to do it. I have been defending Danny this whole time and always speaking up for Danny.
I mean, I find a way to bring up the People's Minogue at any chance I can at work. And it's almost like a running joke now that I'm this fierce Danny defender at work. So it's really fun to finally be able to do this episode with you.
Do you know what we are, babe? We are the Danny Defenders. Please do let us know what your favourite Danny eras were. Have we missed anything that you've loved? Have we talked about things that you've loved? Let us know. What's your favourite Danny song? Get in touch with us at RightBackPod on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can email us rightbackpod@gmail.com, I think it is. As we always say, this is us having a conversation, but you're part of that conversation.
So until next time.
Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.